Test.
Welcome to another Lord's Day at Alamo United Methodist Church. And I'm glad that to see you here on this first day of the brand new year, which came around a lot faster than I thought it would. But of course, we are here to worship God and to give thanks. And our scripture this morning is from the book of Psalms. It is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks, Cheryl. There'll be some more instructions on communion as we get closer to it. This is an unusual morning. I first heard that I was going to be Randy this morning, and there's Randy. Then I got a phone call. Ted is a few minutes out. And of course, Gene is not here. So this morning, I'm Gene and Ted. But it is going to be another joyful worship service, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning. We come celebrating a new year, but we come celebrating also your love and your gifts to each and every one of us. As we start out, so many of us have resolved to give up bad habits, develop good habits, and let us resolve now together that one of the good habits that we develop will be to be in praise and worship each Sunday that we possibly can, that we will remember that we are your people, that we are your servants always. We so often fail as we go along. We forget that who we are. We are the sheep of your pasture. That we forget that we are to lead others to your glorious salvation. For all of these things, we ask forgiveness, Lord. When we overlook an opportunity, prod us to let others know that you are there. As we go through this worship service, Lord, be with us. Guide us. Open our hearts and minds so that we may joyfully worship you in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Frank, you got the announcements? Oh. Hello.
Would you stand for our opening hymn, We Three Kings?
Welcome to another year ending in three. Some of us go back to 1973, some of us go back to 1953, some 2003. But everybody's got birthdays, and so that's what we're doing right now. So as far as birthdays goes, we have Robert Rigsby and Stephanie Rigsby on the 2nd. And then anniversary, we have Alice and Jim Tyler on the 5th. So we're going to sing Happy Birthday. And one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. All right, does anybody have any announcements?
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you. Thank you for the generosity that all of you have shown to our hardworking staff. We were able to give our staff a nice Christmas bonus, thanks to each and every one of you. And I do want to thank you for your generosity at this time. And I think Miss Peggy is ready.
Hi, everyone. You heard the expression, what comes up must come down, right? Well, as much as I don't want to take the beautiful decorations of Christmas down, we are going to do that next week after this week. Those of you who helped put them up, if you are again available to help put them away, we'd appreciate the help. And if you were not available putting them up, maybe now's your chance to plug in and help take them down. So it'll be immediately after the service next week, and we'll say goodbye to the Christmas holiday, even though we're still in Epiphany. But appreciate your help, any of you who can. Thank you.
Good morning. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. We ask for your forgiveness and guidance throughout our life. Lord, may you guide us to the path you want us to take, and if ever we get lost along the way, may you lead us back to the right way. Lord, thank you for everything. We offer everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for this blessed day, the first day of the year. And Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts that we have. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to give generously today. And help us, Lord, to remember that you love a cheerful giver. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your baby, you kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise again. sleeping child you're holding is the grave.
Reading today is from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Lord, I surrender myself to you and trust in your abundant mercy. I trust that you will enable me to walk in your ways every day of my life with full confidence. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Now is the time we prepare our hearts and our ears and our minds for the message that the Holy Spirit has for us today. Pray with me. God, our Creator, we come seeking, we come listening, we come empty. We ask, Lord, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit and open our ears so that the message that your Spirit has given to Pastor Ted will resonate throughout every fiber of each of us. And give Pastor Ted strength and courage so that he may deliver your message and let his words be your words. And let us take your word to a hurting world. Let us resolve in this new year to be your heralds and your disciples in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Morning. Happy New Year. You know, yesterday at the Romeo's breakfast, mentioned to the Urshas, I said, you know what, Urshas? By golly, first day of the month, first Sunday, we're going to start at 10:30. I mean, I was so adamant about that. Well, I must apologize. It wasn't my wife's fault. It wasn't Miss Eileen's fault. It was my fault. I was just running late. So I apologize for that, folks. I know what I said, and I still want to start on time. Amen. 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 I'd like to be here to start at 10:30. I'll say that. I also want to say this morning before I start to preach is that I sure appreciate Tom Kincaid. Amen. Let's give him a hand, all right? He had to stand in for two ministers this morning. Amen. And we appreciate his faithfulness and the fact that he was willing to do it. Okay. This morning, we're going to talk about something that the Lord is very, very fond of. We're going to talk about mercy. And our subject this morning, or our title of our sermon this morning, is Mercy Over Judgment. Mercy Over Judgment. You know, we're so glad you're here today. But this is a really great passage of Scripture that we can get into. But before I start, I want to ask you a couple of questions real quick. Who here has ever broken a rule before? Man. Amen. Who here has ever been shown kindness that you didn't deserve? Now we're going to talk, before we go back to the breaking the rules, I just want to inform you that in the English language, the word that we use for undeserved kindness, does anybody know what that word is? I see. Cheryl had it on the corner of her lips. What is that called? Starts with an M and ends with a Y. Mercy. Amen. Mercy. So the word is mercy, and mercy is what we're going to focus on today. So, but it's interesting, though, but for mercy to happen, there's got to be a broken rule, or there's got to be something that was bent or broken. Here's one that's near and dear to my heart. I was shown undeserved or mercy or undeserved kindness when all I got was a warning in Winslow for speeding. And I fully expected, not Winslow, Windcrest. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about Winslow, Washington. Windcrest. I got caught speeding in Windcrest, caught in this flat. I was going. and the officer said, and I pulled my wallet out, and I got my military ID card right there. When I pull it out, my driver's license, so they can see it. And the officer goes, you know what? There's a lot of us that are retired around here, so that's really not going to do you any good. But he said, I tell you what, sir, you be careful. I'm just going to give you a warning. That was undeserved kindness. I did not deserve that. I deserve a ticket. I thank God for his undeserved mercy or undeserved kindness. Amen? Amen. So there's a wonderful book out. You may have read it. It's called Experiencing God's Forgiveness. And it's written by someone named Louis Palau, P-A-L-A-U. And this is a story that was shared. A mother once approached the Emperor Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. But the emperor said, hey, this young man, he's done this crime twice. He deserves to be punished. And what he did demanded death. That's justice, he said. But the mother begged him and said, but I don't ask for justice. I'm pleading for mercy. But Napoleon said, your son does not deserve mercy. And the woman said, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask. Isn't that something? Mercy is all that we ask. Mercy is what Jesus gave us when he died on the cross. We deserve nothing but the worst. Amen? But God, in all of his infinite mercy, sent his son to the cross. Mercy, mercy, mercy. To finish that story, the emperor said, I will have mercy on this young man, and he spared the young man's life. Undeserved kindness, grace, and compassion. This is mercy. I know it's hard sometimes. Your neighbor is doing things, and folks on your job is causing you some problems. But the Lord wants us to show mercy. He wants us to be kind rather than being one who shows unkindness and does not show the grace and compassion that we need to show. Now, if you look at Luke 13, 10 through 17, I was going to say, Cheryl, could you put that up there? Luke 10, 13 through 17. See, it's good to know that Jesus is in the synagogue teaching on a Sabbath. Okay? And he noticed a woman who's crippled. Now, she's not just crippled, but she has had an ailment that's kept her bent over for a long amount of time. How long does it say that she's been there? How long? 18 years. That's a long time to be bent over, isn't it? Now, not only that, but apparently the enemy had done this to her. Now, I got to tell you, Jesus has done a lot of healing, done a lot of preaching on the Sabbath and in synagogues, hadn't he? So what makes this particular healing so important? What makes it significant? One particular Bible commentator said this: Jesus acted on the Sabbath to instigate a dialogue with the religious leaders who cherish their rules and traditions over people. You see, Jesus wanted to show them that it was better to have mercy than to put all those rules and traditions on people that they didn't even keep up. So he acted on the Sabbath to talk with those who are in power. So, and it's interesting to note that what Jesus said, but before he said that, told him, he says, you know, I really love Jerusalem and I love my people. And he says this in Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chick under her wing. And you were not willing. They were not willing to listen. They were not willing to repent. And that they were not willing to believe. I thank God for this. That didn't mean Jesus wasn't unwilling to continue his teaching and his inviting. You see, Jesus knew that those folks there, that the Pharisees and those the religious leaders, They had these wonderful laws, but they were using those laws, and they were not using them correctly, and they were and they were becoming hypocritical about it. And Jesus is going to show that to us in a minute. Now, in Matthew 9, 10 through 13, he informs the Pharisees that they needed to go and learn what an old passage from the book of Hosea means. Jesus tells them this. They're sitting around eating dinner with a group with a bunch of tax collectors and various sinners when the Pharisees interrupt. I thought it'd be interesting to know, look who Jesus is eating with. He's eating with what? Who's he eating with? Not the religious leaders. He's eating with tax collectors. Tax collectors were one of the most hated people during those times by the Jews. And also with various sinners. I thank God that the Lord loves sinners. Amen? Because it wouldn't be for that fact, we'd all be in deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. So, this is what he says in that passage. He says, I desire mercy, not sacrifices. You see, the religious leaders of the day had replaced mercy and compassion with rules and regulations. So instead of leading with kindness and understanding, they lead with laws. And many of the laws that the religious leaders made up were outside of those created by God. In other words, they were making up the story as they went along just so they could have the benefit of it. So, and these were outside of those created by God, given to Moses and intended for the Israelites. The leaders of Jesus' day had lost their way. But Jesus was working to lead them back to the heart of God. You know, we all lose our way. Time at a time, don't we? I can remember as a young man in the military how in Vietnam, how I lost my way. But I thank God that he kept me on the right path. And he saw fit by his grace and mercy to bring me through those terrible 10 months. And it says, and in truth, we need Jesus to help us show the way back. Now, you may have made a lot of New Year's resolutions, or you may have said you were going to do this and that like I did. But we got to remember this, folks. Whatever you choose to do, I'm talking to believers now, whatever you choose to do, you've got to have Jesus in it. Amen? He must be the one to lead, guide, and direct you through this. So, and not only do we need Jesus, but you know what? Look at that person next to you or behind you or in front of you. Look at that person real quick. Look at him. Look at him. That person you looked at, you're going to need them too. Amen? You're going to need their encouragement. One thing about this church, Alamo United Methodist Church, we are a group of encouragers. I don't know about you, but I need that a lot. I need to be encouraged almost daily. My wife, she always encourages me. My kids always encourage me, and you always encourage me, and I thank God for that. Not to mention the Lord. Every time I start complaining, he slaps me down and says, okay, I told you what I was going to do. Just sit back, listen, and do what I tell you. Amen? That's what he told me, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what the Lord told me. We need each other to stay encouraged on this journey, and we need what? The Holy Spirit. To persevere through trials and tribulations of life. So, but the thing about extending mercy, folks, and being kind is that sometimes it takes more effort and energy than just upholding the rules or doing what you want to. You see, mercy requires us to be what? Engaged and attentive to the needs of others around us, just like Jesus did. He noticed that crippled woman. And he healed her. And we need to notice those in our midst who might need a helping hand. It was the Pharisees' willingness to look past this woman's need in favor of their rules and regulations that really upset Jesus. Especially when they were willing to help their livestock more than their neighbors. You see, the argument of the Pharisees was that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. That day, zero work was to be done, and the people were supposed to rest from all their tasks. But I wonder, is healing a task to be done? Is that work? Is the opportunity to free a fellow human being something that we should ever take a break from? I want to encourage you this morning to never, ever, ever, ever let people tell you not to be kind or be good to anyone. Never let people tell you that if God has told you to do something, you go on and do it. Well, so and no, don't worry about what they said. You're going to have to answer to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, there's always an opportunity to free a fellow human being of someone that's in trouble. And I'm sure there are many in this room, me included, who's grateful that Jesus, listen to this, he never took a day off. Amen? What if he took a day off on us? What did he say? Well, today's Christmas, this day's my birthday, Christmas, and I'm just not going to hear any prayers today. You know, that would be something, wouldn't it? But thanks be to God, he never takes a day off from healing in our lives. Jesus never traded mercy and compassion for rules and regulations. Undeserved kindness, grace, and compassion, that's mercy. You know, that's the kind of thing that should get us going this morning. During this new year, we know that the Lord is full of mercy and that he has blessed us. I don't know about you this morning, but my wife and I, we got up, we had our devotion, and I told them on the way to Tessa and Miss Eileen, I said, you know what, I feel like preaching this morning, I really do. So if I start jumping up and down around here, you just ignore me, all right? Hey, but remember this, as we learn to follow Jesus, we must also learn to be what? Merciful. Thankfully, we have each other to stay encouraged, and we have the blessed Holy Spirit to empower us and to sustain us and comfort us through this wonderful, awesome journey. Quick reminder, I heard this song on the radio not too long ago. Life is like a mountain railroad. You start at this point of the track, and then at the end, you've got this point. And in between, you have all the issues, all the heartache, and all the joys of life. So you can look at life that way. It's a journey. It's a journey that we're on. And what do we know, believers? What's at the end of our journey? Huh? What's at the end of your journey? You're going to die? You're going to die? At the end of your journey is we get to go and do what? Meet Jesus. And that should be every one of ours. That's what we should be looking for. Amen? We can't stay here forever. I know we want to. We act like we do. But we got to go home. This world is not our home. Okay, Ted, that's not part of the sermon. Okay. Literally, you know, as we learn following Jesus, we must also learn to be merciful. And thankfully, we got each other. So at the end of our passage, we see that the people in the synagogue were delighted all with all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. You see, there were some folks that believed. Some folks, they believe. They were rejoicing. You see, mercy moves people. Mercy will move us. It will move us to be a lighthouse in this community. Mercy will move us. It moved the crippled woman. After 18 years of being bent over, she stood up and praised God. He was finally set free from her bondage. It moved everyone who saw the miracle in the synagogue. So, as modern-day believers, we understand this because of God's great mercy and compassion that he sent his son to die on our behalf. You see, God looked beyond the just penalty of our sin. Get this, don't please get this morning. He looked beyond your sin. He looked beyond what Ted Robinson deserved based on what I did on this earth. But you know what he did? He didn't choose judgment. Oh, thank you, Lord. He chose mercy instead. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. Amen? That gives me the encouragement to keep moving, to know that even when I make mistakes, the Lord, He chooses mercy. Now, what about us? What about us? Will you choose mercy this morning? Will you be kind to someone who's been mean to you? You know, I used to really, I worked at a custodian, as a custodian at Judson High School for about 4 to 5 years. One of the things that used to really bother me is you could talk to a person all day long, and then one day that person won't say a word to you. You don't know why, but then I got the attitude, well, you know what? If she ain't going to talk to me, then by golly, I'm not talking to her. And I got to thinking about that. But Ted, that is not the right way to act. If someone's not talking to you, there's probably a reason why. Amen? They may be going through something that you don't know about. Maybe they've had a bad day. We don't know. What I'm trying to say is, just because somebody else may show unkindness that you think to them, you ought to do what? Show kindness, love, and compassion to them. That, my friends, is the Jesus way. So at the conclusion this morning, I want to read to you Romans 5. And if you have it, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to read that with me. I'll give you a couple of seconds to get your Bible. This is important, and I want you to see this. And this is very important, because I want you to understand just how much you mean to Jesus. Because you mean everything to Him. You mean everything to Him. And you mean so much to Him that He died for you, that He gave you a chance, even today, to live another day. That scripture is Romans 5, the 5th chapter of Romans, verses 5 through 9. And I want you to see this, because this is a very important verse, and it'll help to amplify what we've been talking about today about mercy. Listen for God's word. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Listen to this. You see, at just the right time, hey man, I love that part, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and you. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone possibly dared to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? You see, God has fixed it up for you, dear ones. God has fixed it up for you. When I say that, He's shown us mercy. He's shown us mercy, He's shown us grace, and He's shown us compassion. So I want you to remember that during this week, family members and friends and neighbors, that's a great place to start, to show mercy, kindness, and grace. You know, that brother-in-law that might have said some things that were pretty inappropriate at the family reunion, can you forgive him? Even though it might be well within your rights to declare, to say, that's right, I'm distancing myself from that family. But there might be something else going on, folks. Maybe that person just needs to talk to someone. Just maybe God wants to use you. Process to bring about healing. May the Lord bless you and keep you this morning. And may mercy move us. And God loves us. As we prepare for the invitation this morning, let us pray. Lord, please help us to be merciful, just as You have been merciful to us. And let our first response be kindness and compassion in situations of adversity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. goes out to those that may want to join church, may want to have fellowship with us. Maybe you just want a closer walk with Jesus. And I want you to remember this as we go into our communion service after this. Make sure, make very, 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 very sure that everything is all right between you and God before you take communion. Amen? The invitation, the altar is open to all who wish to come.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation, God of the Ages?
God of the Ages.
God has given you one more chance to get things right with Him. I trust that everything is all right between you and Jesus, because, dear ones, that's the most important thing in the world. There's nothing else that means nothing else except for this. Because when you're laying in that bed and you're looking up at that ceiling in ICU, you can't speak. The only hope that you have, it's Jesus. Amen? That's all that matters. Doesn't matter about your money, about your kids, about your job. The only thing that matters then is your relationship with Jesus. God bless you this morning. Let us prepare for communion. And your hymnals is also up on the screen. The invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now you may offer your prayer of repentance in your seat. Or if you want, the altar is open, you may offer it there. But please take just a few moments. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that's God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
To the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power
and might,
heaven and earth full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
The night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Aye. You're up.
We knew the song.
You had the song earlier.
We do our best to keep you.
It ain't cute, Tom. And I see you got the same email. Good morning, and let's give thanks as we start this new year to the one that makes it possible for all of us, our Savior. Continue to pray for our country, for everyone around the world, all of God's children. We all need His help and His prayers. And if you do one thing, spread a little kindness. Or spread a whole lot of kindness. But, you know, this world needs more kindness and more peace. And so continue uplifting everyone that you possibly can. Continued prayers for our friends and family. Hayden Gerdes' sister, Emma Gard. Michelle Peck's mother, Barbara G. Barbara. Gene Bixler's friends, Cindy and Conrad Murray, and for Stella and Delbert Saunders, for Clark Hood, Joni Peterson's family friend, for Sandra Christensen and her family, and Linda Warren and her family. Lord, hear our prayers. Continued prayers of uplifting for our members, you know, Ted and Tessie. Thank you, Pastor and Tessie, for Bonnie Chambers and her family. Continued prayers of uplifting and support for Alice Tyler, Homer Vargas, Sandra Boykins, Janice Walker and James Murphy, for Donna Anderson, for Sandy Bundick, Virginia Molinoff and her family, James Whitney and family, continued prayers for Lance Shaw, for Jim and Linda McMillan, for Elaine and Jean, Kathy Bedell, Vicki Ballman, and Esther Berryman. Lord, hear our prayers. And continued lifting, and if you can, to give them a call, but all of our homebound members. Also, we want to give thanks and praise to everyone that goes out and does work in God's name and spreads His gospel. Thanks be to the Lord. And we have... I wanted to thank the congregation of Alamo for the generous Christmas gift. I appreciate the gift and all of you so very much. Thank you again and Happy New Year. It's from Mary Lou Stout. So Happy New Year to you also, Mary. Now, Pastor Tommy.
Please remember Miss Esther Berryman in your prayers. She's in ICU this morning. I got a call from Laura. Please lift her up in prayer. She's not doing well. So we hope to go by and visit with her after church is over. Miss Esther Berryman. Also, please lift up... got another phone call. Oh, my goodness. I know I got it from Miss Esther. Gayla? Would you go ahead and play? Oh Lord, we give thanks to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Most of all, Lord, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. And Lord, as we prepare, Lord, this, to go through this new year, we don't know what's before us, but we do know this. If we walk by faith, faith in you, you will lead us, lead the way, and we thank you for that. We pray for this congregation, Lord. We pray that each one, Lord, will be empowered by your Holy Spirit to go out and show mercy and love and compassion to each other. Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings you've given us, things that we didn't deserve. We ask for prayer for our nation, for this world, and for our state, Lord, and for our city as well. We pray for those homeless, Lord, who don't have any place to sleep, any place to go or sleep, or even to eat. We pray for that young man or young woman that may be walking the streets even right now, Lord, confused and not knowing what to do. Oh, Lord, use us, if it be thy will, to give hope, to give you to those people. And, Lord, as we prepare to leave, we ask that you would go with us and stand by us. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
As we prepare to leave, leave with the love of God in your heart. Remember, mercy is undeserved. Those that act so against you, show them kindness, show them love, and show them mercy. You may change a life. Our closing hymn is Go Tell It on the Mountain. Take the word of God and go in peace.